Today's session again is session 5, and this is part of Jumpstart 2021. It's a 31-day challenge where we are prepping for our next step. And today, our topic is going to be, who is your who? Yeah. Oh, you guys, I'm really excited about this topic. This is one God has been really nailing down to me over the past few years. And I don't think it's by accident. I believe actually this is something I should have seen in the past, but I really didn't get it. I was actually, my story on coming around to really hear him on this was that I myself was asked to speak at an event. And they said, you have always been known for building your community and building your tribe. And I had never heard that before. I guess I never even thought about that. But I looked back over the things I did through the years, and that was something I was about, because my calling, I was seeing it as that we are here to build the body of Christ. We're here to build the family of God. We're here to build the kingdom. And that has always been my passion. But also, when I think about who's my who, I am a spiritual mother in the body of Christ. It's my position. It's my calling. And knowing that, it keeps me from feeling that pull to this area or that area. Now, I do a lot of things, don't get me wrong. But all of that is all somewhat wrapped around who I am, my gifts, my talents, my bents, my experiences, the training I have, what I bring to the table, everything I've ever done. Even when I've not been 100% full-time in full-time ministry for my business/ministry, when I wasn't doing that, when I was actually employed in the marketplace, you still found me being who I am. And you found that my best clients were those who somewhat fit into the same profile as those who are really my best clients today. It's interesting. Also, even on the streets, when I was doing street ministry, my who, it seemed as though my message for them many times was the same. I come alongside of them as a spiritual mother, sharing with them that God had a purpose and a calling for their life. And my message didn't even change with those who didn't have homes, with those who were in dire poverty and who were despairing. It was the same message. So it's kind of, I sat back thinking, okay, this is so important. If you look at the life of Jesus when he was here on the earth, you know that he was here for the world. He was here for the whole world. And yet, if you look at how he did his ministry and where he put his focus, if you look at that, then you see that he knew who his who were. He knew who it was even down to like even 120 that followed him and were a part of his ministry. But then the 72, then the 12, and even down to the 3. He knew who his who were. And this is so important for us today as we step into our calling, as we walk it out in our everyday life, as we live out our life purpose, as we fulfill what we are here for. So this morning, I want to ask you, who are you? Who are you? Do you know who you're here for? Okay, well, you probably know what you're here for. You probably even know your message, but why aren't people coming to you in droves? Why do you share your message only to hear crickets instead of a wild roaring crowd? Well, perhaps the next step is clarifying our ideal clients. Perhaps the very next step is to define and reach that ideal customer, client, your tribe, whatever you want to call them. it in practical ways that build a thriving community of ideal customers that reflect your culture. So let's do it. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions today. If you want to work this out, many of these questions are in the guide for those of you who are participating in the challenge. If you're not, you can always listen to this on replay. It'll be available until Thursday when we have our next session. Or you can grab the set. The set will have this available for you indefinitely. So, anywho, let's ask some questions today. Do you know who your ideal client is? Describe what you know about them right now. Who are they? What you might want to even start with who your favorite client is today. You know I just said favorites, and some of you are going, what did she just say? Yeah, I'll be honest. I have people that I know when I work with them, I come away fired and inspired. I hardly feel like I have worked because we are so like-minded and we are so on the same page that I know that what we're doing is moving in the same direction. I feel like we're linked arms and like we're walking down the same exact path. Do you know what I'm saying here? You're going the same direction. You have the same passions, that they, you have the same values. That makes to me, I remember hearing a quote years ago that said that if you are truly in your calling, your life purpose, you'll never work a day in your life. It'll be that thing that's on your heart, that passion, that place that is truly your sweet spot, that is truly it is your place where you are called, anointed, you are fired back up. You're in with your people, your community, your tribe, your family. Think for a moment, what are their values? What would be their core values? Think about the things that would motivate them. Think about what's most important to them. What would that be? What would it be? And how would that compare with your values? The things that are really important to you. Can I just tell you that one of the reasons many people do not have the tribe that God is intending for them to have is because they're not communicating it clearly. They're not communicating clearly to them what their heartbeat is, what their passion is, what people get whenever they connect with them. And the reality is, it's either going to be that, or it's that you haven't actually gotten to a place where you have connected, you've reached those people. That's what marketing's all about. That's what making sure that our values are clear, making sure of what we have to offer is clear, and that then getting it out there to the masses. So what would be the calling and life purpose of the people that are your people, your who? What would be their calling, their life purpose? What would be their goals? What is it that they would want more than anything else? I'm talking about anything else. Yeah, you know, how do you help them get there? What are their roadblocks? What is in their way? Maybe what is their pain? Are they needing to overcome something to fully step into their life calling and purpose? What solutions do you specifically have that help them? Are there different levels for wherever they are in the journey? Are there services specifically for them? Is there hope that comes to them from your healing? Is there wisdom that you have because you've gone through the same exact wounding that they have experienced? Is there a message that you can declare confidently that comes from your mess that can help them to come out of their mess? Is there a testimony that has resulted from the test that you have been through in your life? Is there a purpose that comes from your pain that can give them purpose and meaning from theirs? Is there a rest that you've experienced in the midst of your stress that they can experience because they can have confidence in the same source that you have, your Heavenly Father? What do you want for them to do? Can they? Should they? Will they? How is your culture conducive to supporting and empowering and equipping them? Which milestones do they have to hit for them to benefit from your products and services and community? I ask that because, you know, maybe there's certain things that they have to be or to do for them to even see a benefit in doing business with you. You've got to know that because maybe you can help them get into that position. Maybe that is a roadblock to building your business. But, you know, are there certain milestones that they have to hit to benefit from certain levels of your products and services from your community? How do you help them get from where they are right now to where they're going? Do you even know where they're going? This is why we pull aside and we prep for our next step. It's because we need to know who we are, what we have to offer, why we're here, who we're here for, and where we're going in order to truly be able to help other people to benefit from who we are and what we're here for, what our message is. So how do you help them get from where they are right now to where they are going? Think back over my very first question. Do you know who your ideal client is? Describe what you know about them now after I've been asking these questions. What do you know? Do you know who they are? Do you know what they're here for? Do you know what they need? Do you know what you offer them? Describe what you know about them. What is most needed today? What do they need today? Just think about that for a moment. You know, I had my coach a while back. She and I were meeting I was actually in a group session with her. And whenever we were, I told her I was, you know, coming back into my business, and I was starting to set some things up. And, you know, I was kind of confused, like, what did I bring back from the past? What did I set back up? You know, where did I even begin? I had no idea what to do with that. And it was kind of interesting because she said something that I will literally never, ever, ever forget. She said, "Cindy, people want who you are. The people that are going to be attracted to you and to your business are going to be people that look very much like you. They're going to look very much like, their values are going to look very much like your values. Their purpose is going to look a whole lot like your purpose, because there's no accident that you are called to minister to them. There is no accident that you are positioned where they're going to want anything you have. There is no surprise in that. You know, I think that one of the things that is so misleading about business and about the one thing that's most misleading about business and what's most misleading about how a lot of people build businesses is that they find themselves in a position where they are not clear on who they are and what they have to offer, who their clients are, who their tribe is, what they can actually give to them. So again, we go back to the question once more of who are you? Who are you called to be? What are you here for? What are you called to do? Your vocation in life, your life. You know, again, I go back to that awesome quote by friend Frederick Buechner, and I have a hard time saying his name sometimes. He says that he defines vocation as that place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep, where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. That is powerful. Where is it that you have a complete assurance of God's truth? By the way, I happen to know my tribe tends to be Christian. I make no qualms about it. I believe that my tribe is filled with people who are typically leaders in the body of Christ. And I believe that all of us are called to discipleship whether you have one you're discipling or you have many. You know, I remember through the years, I knew my father was called to preach. He's an excellent example of someone who may not have necessarily a calling to be in a ministry like my ministry is myself. Now, I'm not saying that that's my necessarily the, that pretty much would limit my, what I'm really called to be here for, wouldn't it? It's not just people who have a business or people who have a ministry that are my community. My community is truly the body of Christ because I believe that we are called for a purpose. We have a calling. We have a life purpose. We all have a message to share, whether it's to one or to many multitudes. My father, was called to preach, and I remember his testimony about that. And it bothered me many times that he didn't just step out into his calling and fill a pulpit. In fact, it did grieve him at times that he didn't. But I think that many times the church, when he became a Christian, they had the mindset that for us to serve God, it had to look a certain way and it had to have a certain pulpit, really. And that has been frustrating for many Christians through the years that have had a calling on their life. And they've said, this doesn't really fit into what I feel like I'm gifted at doing and being. I think about last week when I interviewed one of my dear friends for an upcoming podcast that is going to be coming out the first of the month. I'm at the Cindy Rushton Show. If you're not following that, follow it. You're going to love my show. By the way, I found out yesterday, I'm on Spotify now. I'm on pretty much all of the major podcast players that you may love. You can find me there. So I'm real excited. If not, just go to the CindyRushtonShow.com and you can connect with me there and you can listen to all my shows. But anyway, we were talking and he is in music, in rap music. I believe from the bottom of my heart, if you really know your space, your place, then you can create a community, a thriving community of people that are on journey with you. But you first have to know who you are and what you're about, what your deep gladness is, what your story is, where the world's hunger is, where your gifts and your talents and your bents meet the world's hunger. What you have to offer, is it music? Well, then more than likely, your community is going to be people that are tuning into music. So if you're building a community of that, you're going to have to be out there where they're looking for you. Do you see where I'm going with this? If you are building a local church, then hello, you have to be right here in your local community where the people are. You have to get out there and reach them with your message. And more than likely in this day and time, it's not going to be by putting up a sign that tells the times that you have your services. Yes, that can help for some, but to be able to reach the people in your community who really need you, you're going to have to get out there and develop relationship. Same for those of you who are called into this internet space. I truly believe that many people are copying many other models. And when they're copying other models, they're getting messed up on who they are and who their people are, what their community looks like. What are your gifts, your talents, your bents, your experience? What about your skills, your expertise, your passion, your heartbeat, your story? You gotta know this. That's why I've been saying it for the last few weeks. And I said, you can't really walk around that to prep for your next step. Because you know what? If you don't know who you are, then guess what? Nobody else is just going to figure it out for you. They're not going to be attracted to you. There's so many voices. They want the voice that meets their deep need. They want the person that comes alongside of them and helps them to be a success, to be able to overcome, to be able to have their answers, to be able to do the thing that they are supposed to be doing. I know right now Lisa's in the room, and Lisa is a writer for homeschooling curriculum. And I think about you, Lisa, and I think, you know what? You've got to be where the homeschool mommies are. That's going to be where your people are. That's going to be how you build your community. You're going to have to lock arms with those who have the same calling that you have, because those people will help you connect. When you let them see, for example, you let them see the curriculum you're developing, then they will have you in their real estate, their mind. They're going to be able to share you so that other people get biblical curriculum for science, for history, for whatever you develop. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, same here. You know, for me, I believe that by being in community and truly serving and loving on people who need to step into leadership, loving on them, being with them, encouraging them, supporting them, giving them my experience, my expertise, my passion, my talents, my voice, my story, it helps them to be able to hear what God's saying to them and to know, hey, they're not alone. They're in community. They've got a tribe. They've got someone here that's crazy enough to walk through dark days with them. Because you see, I've walked through mine. Do you think I'm going to leave you alone in those? No, it breaks my heart. It makes my heart move to see what you're going through, to hear what you need, to watch and listen to the things that you go through. As a mother in the body of Christ, it compels me to do what I'm called to do. Do you see? So what is what are your gifts, your talents, your bench, your experience, your skills, your expertise, your passion, your heartbeat, your story? Really unpack it. Because if you know that, it's going to start pointing towards and developing your message, just like we talked about last week. And then when that message is crystal clear, then your marketing is going to be clear. Then the people will know, hey, she's got what I need, or he's got what I need. They will come to you. They will connect with you. They will be in the journey with you. So what do you want to do? What do you want to do? You know what? You got to know it, because guess what? If you don't want to do what they want to do, there's going to be a disconnect. And if they don't want to do what you want to do, they need to know it ahead of time so they can disconnect and they can find the voice that they need. We have to be open to that. You know, I think going back to my experience, one of the things I really treasure is training that I got in school on small groups. You know, back in the past, you know, it was all about your numbers. And I thank God that God has been shifting the church to now saying, nope, it's really about intimacy, because it is. It's really about connection. It's really about being united together and doing something together. And you know what? If you don't know what you want to do, they are not going to understand that you want to do the thing that helps them. And they're not going to clearly get it. They're not going to resonate. That's why we've got to do this hard work at first. Can I ask you, what is your voice? Your voice. Find your voice, and you will have a story and world-shaking, history-making community. You know what? If you know what your voice is and you know it clearly, then you can communicate it clearly. But if not, it's going to be a lot of and ums. I'm telling you, I've been here, done that. I've also, you know, I'm going to also say that it's not limited. I've said this a lot the past couple years, but it's because I remember one of my friends, we were going out to do some street ministry, and I know he really hears the voice of God. And he spoke a word over me. He asked me if he could speak a word, and he said, "Cindy, you carry many mantles." And when he said that, all of a sudden, my whole world, it's like I could see everything, past, present, future. I could see that one of the things about me is that, no, I don't just sit in one world, one sphere. I don't just have one little message. My voice is the overall voice of building the kingdom of God. That is my overall voice. So when you hear me say, "What's your calling? What's your life purpose?" It's not because you're just now stepping into it. And then once you step into it, I don't need you anymore, Cindy. No, I hope you don't think that, because there's a lot more here. When you hit hard times, do you know how to get through them? Because I've hit the hard times. That's part of my voice. That's part of my message. It's how to overcome the obstacles, how to get around the crisis situations, how to overcome and make things happen, even when you're having to balance the job, or you've gone through and you're the only sole breadwinner, and you've gone through maybe a spouse passing away, or you've gone through a divorce. Satan would love to convince you that you no longer have a future in the body of Christ because of circumstances. And can I tell you, my voice says, nope, nope, nope. I've watched God take me no matter what I have been through and keep me moving forward, keep me focused on what my real message is. But you know what? We have to do the work. We have to sit at his feet. We have to know what he's put into our mouths. Remember Jeremiah chapter 1? And Jeremiah was like, "I don't even know what to say. I'm young." He started giving all these reasons he couldn't step into his calling and life purpose. However, remember what God said? Whoa, he touched his mouth. He said, "I put my words in your mouth." You know what? That's that voice that God will put inside of you. He's called you. You find your voice, and I promise you, you're going to have a story. And I don't care if you just got saved 2 minutes ago. If you just got saved 2 minutes ago, you know, look at what the Lord did with the leper. You know that leprosy was supposed to have been a sexual disease. So they may have thought they were disqualified because of their sexual sins that were apparent to the world. But also, people didn't want to be around them. They didn't want to catch it. They didn't want for it to get on them. And yet, what did God do, Jesus do? He healed the leper. He went to them, by the way. He went to them. Nobody was off limits to him. And I like that. He didn't say, "Oops, wait, no, I'm only going to have this little niche. And it's going to be cute little people that are sitting around the synagogue singing Kumbaya." No, actually, those people really weren't his community. In fact, they tried to follow him around. They tried to tell him what he was and was not to say. Just like we hear people do today. And yet, those weren't his people. Those weren't the people that literally got it. And there were times even the people he got that were around him. We talked about this the other night. Mary and Martha, for example, they were with him pretty much most of the time. But when crisis hit them, and Jesus delayed, by the way, because he was going to show something to them that they needed to know him on a deeper level. Our crisis helps us to know him on a deeper level, but it's not just for Cindy. It's not just for Lisa. It's not just for Janelle. It's for the body of Christ. It is for those who are our community. They need to be able to know, how did we get through that crisis? How did we step into our calling? How did we keep it going, even when we didn't know how to keep it going? Yeah, whatever it is. Whatever it is. I don't think it's by accident that Lisa's wearing a couple mantles right now. She's redoing her homeschool curriculum. Love it. Perfect timing. There's a whole lot of homeschool mommies, or people who don't know they're supposed to be homeschool mommies, that are school mommies, that need to have something easy that is biblical, that has truth, that they can teach their kids. But it's also, to me, not shocking that she's had all this experience in the marketplace. And she has a definite voice in the marketplace, and she's developing and helping to set up a school for those who want to drive trucks. Let me tell you, Doesn't shock me. She's a teacher. Her gifts, look at her gifts, look at her experience, look at her expertise all the way around. She can't help but to teach. It doesn't matter where she goes. She can't help but to figure out what is needed and to make it happen. That's who she is. That's just what I know of her. And I don't even spend every day around her. That's why I say but I have watched her over the years and we've had relationship over the years. And am I wrong, Lisa? Did I miss any of that right there? That little bit? That's you, isn't it, girlfriend? Because you know what? We have to know who we are, what we really want to do, what our message is, and we have to speak it forth. We have to teach it forth. This is not saying you have to have years of something. I love that the leper, Jesus told him, no, you're not going to go with me. I want you to go and tell. Go and tell all these people that you're standing around how to be healed. He was right. The leper was right there among other lepers. Imagine the people set free because of that one person. He didn't have to go sit in a seminary to get qualified. He didn't have to go and even travel with the disciples so he could get a position to be able to then go forth. He didn't ask any of the apostles to lay hands on that guy. He himself said, you go and teach. Right then, with what? His message, his story, his experience. That's power. That is power. I was reading a few years ago, I was doing a study in school. It was an undergrad. We were studying about church growth, which is part of what some of my qualifications are. So don't be surprised that this topic, by the way, is one of my topics, you know, building and growing your community, getting to know your who, who's your who. But anyway, I was in this class and they had this book that to me, if I were going, there's probably about 10 books that I would say are really the books that are most influential in my life at this point. But it's interesting because they're kind of a potpourri of different kinds of books, if that makes sense, because I believe God's needed them to grow me and to prepare me for where I'm my next step. But anyway, one of the books was called The Organic Church. And it was so good that when my RV got flooded and my original copy got messed up, I bought another one. Because I wanted to make sure I kept that book, because I think every so often I have to be reminded that what God's doing in the body of Christ, and I agree with this book, what he's doing in the body of Christ right now is many times he's taking us outside of our walls. And he's taking us out into the world. And I see it even more this year. And can I just say, this is probably a word of prophecy, not a word of doom and gloom, but I believe that our effectiveness is not going to be in the same places it's been in the past. I don't think that we're going to be able to keep people at arm's length. I don't think we're going to be able to go and play. Let's go into church. Let's go out of church. Now, I believe he's going to be breaking bread. He's wanting us to break bread with one another. That means eat with one another. It means go and hang out at the park and let the kids play together, kind of breaking of bread fellowship. I believe he is wanting for us to go back into the places where we have come out of. And go and make disciples right here in our space. He's getting us back to some of the beginnings, some of our roots, some of the things that have been done in the body of Christ have been done. And I don't even know if people have asked permission of God, if that's where he wanted them to be. If they have asked God, if that's how that he's wanted them to grow their community, if that's what his plans were. I look at social media, and social media is not very friendly right now. Social media right now is not very friendly for fellowship necessarily. It's socialistic, yeah. This morning, there's a part of me that was so grieved when I started looking at a feed. I had my time with the Lord, and then I opened my social media. And I'm going to just tell you what I felt I felt a bad taste in my mouth. That and I think it was because I'd just been spending time with the Lord and it was such a sweet moment. And I opened my feed And I just saw such a vile, venomous attack. It just made me sick. It just made me sick. It made me sick that some people are... I may just leave it there. Did I say leave it? Nope. I say we change the way we're doing things. I think we're going to have to be in community. As connected as we can be. I'm sorry, y'all. I almost canceled this morning because I was so grieved. And I thought, no, you don't cancel. Because you don't know what tomorrow will be like. I'm just kidding. But no, I can't not say this. Because otherwise I wouldn't be preparing you for your next step. We have to be willing to take our step if it means they take our head off. You know, we have to be so resolute that God is our answer, that Jesus Christ, we have to proclaim Him, His name, His ways, His kingdom. Even if it means we're persecuted, not popular, not liked. I'm going to tell you, you'll find this girl doesn't go back on when God says something to me and I say it. It's not out of pride I don't go back. It's out of obedience to God, out of honor to Him. If He put something in there, He said, say it. It's not my business to try to save my face and not stand behind His words, His way, His word. Like this one that I teach, this one, it's absolute, it's eternal. It is the word of the living God, the Lord of all. So anyway, here on this, I have to tell you though, that your community may not be the vile. It may not be those that don't want to hear. It may not be those that are coming against you full force. You know, I probably blocked 200 people this year. And it's not because, here's the deal. It's not because they differed with me, because I don't really care if people differ. I'll have a discussion all day long. But when they start to attack, two things, me personally, like there's a different level. I can let them go for a little bit. But then also my God, that's where I say, you know what? I pray a blessing upon you. But I can't allow you to have a voice in this space here. And I've had to move away. I've had to be really honest that my community is not everybody in the world. And we've got to get there and know. I hope I'm making sense here, because I don't think it was by accident that God let me bring that out this morning. But we've got to prepare. We've got to know that not everybody's going to be your tribe. And that is in good ways, and it can be ways that help you deal with some of the yuck today. So take a good hard look at who you are. Next, take a good hard look at your business or your community. And yes, Lisa, it is separating the wheat from the chaff. I'm telling you, you got to. Okay, so if we don't, let me just tell you what this looks like. I do need to stop and just unpack that a little bit more. I feel like God's saying unpack it a little more. What if Jesus listened when his mom and his brothers were saying, wait, don't talk about that? Do you remember that part in the scripture? Do you remember when Jesus's brothers and his mother, they came saying, mom wants you, hey, come back. You know, he was getting pretty hardcore about the kingdom at that point. You know what I love is that those same brothers write some of the hardest books in the Bible. The book of James and the book of Jude, some pretty hardcore books of the Bible. And I don't think it's by accident. I think they had to learn by experience that Jesus, of course, was God. And he was here to walk among us and to give us salvation. And you know what? They had to learn that, you know what? If people were going to oppose him, and there were going to be the religious that were going to oppose him. And I say religious, I'm not talking about spirit-filled or those who are Christ, who are kingdom. I'm talking about there were those who were religious. They had a way. I've got a teaching that I'm last night I started putting it all together that was about false prophets. And it's going to be on my new podcast. How about that? Did you hear me just really say that? But no, it talks in there. I talk about false prophets because I think we need to be able to discern true from false, especially in this day. That's one of my messages because I'm seeing it. They're revealing themselves. It's like the wheat and the chaff. We are seeing it. It's been growing up together for a long time. And there's a lot of things that the people don't like about the church. And let me tell you, there's two things they don't like about the church. If you listen to any given people, if I read my feed, I can tell you there's two things they don't like. Either the religious don't like the real in the body of Christ, or those who are lost, those who are lost, those who want to conform the word of God to their life and their lifestyles instead of changing it, they don't like the real. But likewise, let me just say this. I believe that there is a part of the body of Christ who are the real deal, and they're sick and tired of business as usual and compromise and selling out to the world. And there's going to be such a sharp division in these days. There already is. And you know what? We have to know where we stand. I can tell you that anybody who doesn't stand wanting to become more and more like Christ, wanting to abide in the vine, you're probably not going to like me very much. You know, I know. And I have to say, I love you anyway and bless them. And, you know, I don't think I'm talking to them necessarily. They probably already turned me off a while ago. But anyway, but I have to say I love them and I am here when they need to know how to get through their hard times, when they need to know how to step into their calling, when they want to turn their hearts back to the Lord. I am right here and I love them. They will not find just judgment or shunning. But likewise, I'm not going to conform my message to make the world think it's more palatable. I am not going to be quiet when, you know, in order to save my neck, when there are people dying and busting hell wide open. I can't. We are not in that place in society right now. We really never have been. You know what? The last days began, the end times began when Pentecost occurred. We are in these last hours, not just last times that are vague, last hours. So you know what? If I know that, then I know there are going to be people that are not going to like it. People don't want people. The Lord says that eternity is set in our hearts. And so there are going to be people that don't agree with that. And you know what? I have to know that. But there are also those of you who know that the days are close and you have a calling. And you've got to do it. And you can't be distracted by all the things going on. Hello, you're my community. You're my tribe. Does that make sense? Now, I don't know what each of you, your callings are. We could definitely have that time here. I'm pretty certain on some of you who your people are and who your clients are. But here again, we can brainstorm these things out and we can look and see. And you can put your efforts there and not be distracted when people reject you. You cannot be distracted when people don't listen to you. This is what this is about. This is about you being able to target and keep reaching outward. I believe in internet marketing so much. And I believe in, and we're going to talk about this over the next few sessions, about taking your message and making it in different formats that reach people. But I don't say change your message. I don't say change your voice. Do you see the difference of what I'm saying here? Because if you know who you are, then guess what? Your clients are going to want who you are. That's the bottom line. So next thing, take a good hard look at your business and ministry. I'm going to ask you, give you some assignment to do some things. We talked about this the other night of writing your vision. That is your bonus for this week, by the way. But writing your vision, making it plain. But here in that, make sure to define your culture. Like, what do you want to be around? You know, for me, I love people who are full of purpose, people who are full of passion, People who know their positioning and who are positioning themselves around me as well. It's not just a one-way street, you see, but we're positioned together because we're on mission together, that we have the same values, the same heartbeats, the same passions. I want to bring more of that into the world, but I also want to be part of that in the world. That's my culture. That's what you get with me. If you don't know what Cindy Rushton stands for, go check out cindyrushton.com. I detail my values, like pressing into the presence of God. I unashamedly say that if I'm saying something, don't take Cindy. This is not about Cindy. This is not Cindy pulpit. This is Cindy saying, hey, you guys, let's go press into the presence of God. Today, we're looking at who our who is. You know, we're looking at that because, you know what? I believe many times the people who are not your who pull you out of position in the presence of God. They mess up. They distract. You can't hear his voice for hearing all of their voices and what they say they want. And I'm going to tell you, that's how we fall. That's how we fall. God is calling us to press into his presence, to develop a culture that, you know, I'm unashamedly going to say that the people surrounding me are amazing. You guys are powerhouses. I really am so thankful for who I am around because it's not like I have to work. I get to literally enjoy doing life with you guys. That's what we're talking about here. Take a good hard look at your business, your ministry, define your culture. And if it's not there, by the way, it's time to redefine your culture so you can build your community. Your values, what are they? Do they know? Because you know what? If they know your values, they're going to be able to say, this is my person. Define the experience you want to provide for your customers or your clients. What do you want them to experience? I remember some training I had in the corporate world. One of the things that they did, they had us work on, like, when we would answer the phones, like how we actually were going to talk with a person to do more than just answer a question that would maybe make them go, no, you know what I mean? But to really connect with them over the phone and see how we could really help them. And to make their experience getting to us easy. I'm talking about easy. I had to know the red lights that you took from the interstate. I had to know the red lights you took from the other direction. I had to know how to describe to them to get into where I was and where, when they come in, what to do so they could connect with me to just make it a delightful experience. I took a lot of that for granted in the past, but what experience do you want for your clients or your customers, your church to have? The people that experience you. These are things we have to, and let me tell you where it goes. It goes down to, what do they experience when they come to your website? What do they experience when they're trying to buy a product? What do they experience when they're trying to communicate to you? Do they get to talk to you? Do they get to have some time with you? Let me tell you how this could be so different. This challenge could be so different. I could be sitting and putting this in advertising out there and attracting big numbers and come and speak at you, not invite you to my room. Do you know what I'm saying? I could cut it off right after I bark my little ideas out. No. You know, I laughed because my pastor said the other day that he's long-winded one. I said, I think that's what I like about you. I like that, you know, if I'm going to fix my hair, it's going to take me, you know, 30, 45 minutes to get dressed. I sure don't want a message that's less than what it takes for me to get dressed and get over there. You know what I mean? When I get there, I really want to experience God. Okay. And you know what? The whole atmosphere of that church is wrapped around that. It's wrapped around family. I went after church to his home, and I don't even know, almost everybody from the church was at his house. And it was just, I sat back watching for a few minutes, and he caught me actually. He looked at me and said, this is family, isn't it? I said, it is. I somehow picture that this is what heaven's like. Okay. What experience are we giving people? Are we giving them, like, for one thing, my coach said something the other day. I said, we were like talking about people that we were looking at online and stuff. And I shared one. And at first I was kind of a little, honestly, taken back by what she said. She always pushes me and I like it. That's why I keep coming back to her. That's what the experience I get from her. She's going to kick my tail and I like it. But anyway, she said, wow, this website, she said, what I do see from her, she said, I'd have to tap on into it and listen to some of what she says. She said, but what it looks like is it's all about her. She's got a good photographer. And it looks, she said, I hate to say it this way, but it gives me the feeling of narcissism. She said, there's like a narcissistic marketing. And it's all about me. It's all about my abilities, my authority, my stuff. And she says, is that what you want? And I had to say, no, 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 not at all. I want to brand it so people know, hey, this is Cindy I'm getting, Cindy I'm hanging with. Not because Cindy's special, but because I'm asking you to come and hang with me as we press into the presence of God. I want for us to hear him. I don't want us to hear Cindy. So if there's anything that's communicating something else, then I want to make sure that I'm getting rid of that in the experience that people have with me. I want for them to experience him. And that means that all of the things that I do are an invitation to a conversation with him. They're not an invitation to come and learn more from Cindy and learn Cindy's ideas and Cindy's ways. And no, 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 no. This is not no. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. That's experience I want. I don't know what your experience is. I'm not trying to put that on any of you. But what I'm saying is to ask the question. What I'm asking is to ask the question of what the experience is that you want. Define it. Describe it. Get a good vision for that, because that's going to be what you create in your website. It's going to be what you create in your products. It's going to be what you create in your events, your podcast, your marketing. That's what you're taking out there. Because guess what? People really pay for experience and with connection with you. So you've got to know this. Do all this hard work that we're talking about here. So now let's go back. Describe your current clients. Who are they? What are their values? What is their calling and their life purpose? What are their goals? How do you help them get there? What are their pain points? Do you know? Do you care? Let's just say, if you don't care about their pain, they're not going to care about what you've got to sell them. I'm just going to say that. That's pretty hard, isn't it? It's hardcore because it's true. If you don't care about them, and especially right now, I just see the whole body of Christ is in position to come alongside of the church, of the people in this world, and give them hope, help them find healing, help them find answers. We don't need to be distracted by the attack. We should not be surprised that the enemy's attacking us. I kind of look at this as a lot of warfare right now. There's a battle between good and evil. And you know what? If you're not experiencing some battle, then are we hearing your voice? We'd be having to, I'd have to ask that. I'm not hearing voices. If you're not experiencing battle at this point, I'm just going to say it's time to speak up. But anyway, I get to thinking about this. And I think it's interesting. It reminds me of years ago, God showed me, and I think it was through TV. It was like watching this matador with the bull, that he would hold out this red flag and it would irritate. He would irritate the bull with that. And the bull would like charge at it and attack it. All the while he was stabbing the bull in the back. Those blows to the back are what kills the bull. They bleed out, they die. And all the while they're distracted with the red cloth. And I see a lot of things that are distracting the body of Christ right now while the devil's trying to take us out. He's trying to give us some pretty strong death blows. And we need to be aware how he fights. And that's not God. It's not God's judgment. It's not God's way. We need to understand that. If we don't get that people are hurting because of this, we are missing opportunities to reach them and to love on them. So if we don't have their pain points, what are they? I'm thinking about for Lisa, the mom who's sitting there and she's already having to deal with her kids, not necessarily always doing what they're told. Maybe she's dealing with her own insecurities. Maybe she doesn't know how to teach. Maybe she doesn't know how to pull a study together and how to get their ideas out of their mind and onto paper or into, out of their mouths. She needs you. She needs you desperately. And there's a lot of hers or he's that are needing you right now because there's such a void in truth and direction toward truth. Okay? I think about Janelle. And Janelle, man, she's been through the darkest of nights of losing her spouse. She's gone through trials through the years. And God, this girl is like a weebles wobbles, but they don't fall down. You know what I'm saying? She's like, the devil knocks her. She just pops right back up and she's smiling. I want that. That's why I've had her as a friend for many, many, many years. I value that. You know what? I know that woman has power in prayer. I know she has a sweet humility that really is centered in the presence of God. I want that. You know what I mean? When I go through tough times, I want her there speaking into my life. I know she's already dug up the promises of God that got her through her pain. And I know that she can share them. No matter if there's somebody I know that's hurting, that needs help, I know in confidence, absolute confidence, I can send them to her and they're going to find what they're looking for. I think about our other Lisa. And I am so, I mean, goodness, she, you know, we've done a lot of life together, girlfriend. And she, thinking about where she's at right now, I love what she's doing in the marketplace. I love all of this. There's no accidents. And everything she has, I know God is using it for his glory. You know what? I have no doubt. All of you are great with knowing the pain of the people that you are to reach. That is essential. How do you help them? Because you know what? Your marketing should look like this. These are the people I help, and this is what I can help you with. It should be that pointed, that easy. That's what we're looking at here. What are their roadblocks? What's in their way? You should know them because you've been through them. How did you get there? How'd you get past it? How can you help them get past it? You know, get to know them. Know the things, the solutions you have for them. Know what you want them to do. Look at how your culture is conducive to supporting them, empowering them, equipping them. Because you know what? That is the communication that is necessary for marketing. And we're going to talk some marketing. It's coming up. But that is what is essential to market effectively. You've got to know, how do I help them with this? What is my plan for this? So, can I ask you, what kind of community do you want? You've got to know. You've got to know. And then, what do they need? What do they need? Here's my list of things. I just want you to make a list. Now, I'm not asking you to take my list unless it helps you, unless it's part of your list. But I'm thinking about my list. When I look at my community, I think, okay, I've been here in ministry for a long time. I've also been out of ministry on, you know, in the marketplace, but had to balance. I said I had to moonlight my ministry. So what did I need? I think it's the same things that many of you need. Encouragement, empowerment, equipping with skills so you can fulfill your calling easily. A safe place to be real and vulnerable. You know, of course, I'm leading leaders, so you can see that that would be needed. You know, I see a lot of people that have to be acting like nothing's wrong out there because, goodness, they tear you apart if they smell blood. You know, we can smell your blood and we'll help bandage you up. We'll help you come into that place. You're safe here. You are safe here. But also support from people who are doing it successfully. That's why I believe in a community. I don't think I have all the answers. What I love is that my community is you guys are pretty amazing. You have gifts and talents that other people need. We need you connected. We need you connected. If you're all by yourself and you're not connected, well, today's the day to get connected. If you are thinking that you've got it all together and you're too busy going out doing, can I tell you that there's none of us meant to do this by ourselves? Jesus had disciples. Jesus had community. He had a huge community around him the whole time. He didn't get to a certain point and then walk away from them. He carried them with him. And I think it's essential that we get support from others who are doing it successfully and we stay connected. Because otherwise, I can tell you there is a warning for those who go out there and try to do it in isolation. I've been there before, and I can tell you, you're like ripe for the picking of Satan. He will get you down. And it's not, you know, it's not like you can't be strong in the Lord. I'm not saying you can't, but what I'm saying is you sometimes can get to feeling like you're isolated, like Elijah. I have to ask myself, how did Elijah get to a point where he didn't know there were other prophets just like him in the land? How did he get to that point where he was so messed up in depression and despair that literally God had to feed him through ravens and had to literally take him to a brook and, you know what I'm saying? How do you get there? I think it's because there's not a connection. Because he had people just like him that were standing with him. We don't have to be alone. We can be connected. My list for things I want and that my people need is a forum for bouncing off ideas and getting fresh perspective and honesty. I'm telling you, we could sit here and we could play the, oh, that's nice, all day long. But I just don't like that lie. You know, I feel like that there's things I can see. There's things other people can see. I've seen it in our community already. And I've also seen people get their feelings hurt because they didn't want that honest feedback. They wanted for it to be this happy, happy, happy place, but yet not to be told your website looks like crap. I'm just saying. If it does, don't you want to know? You know what? My coaches have kicked my tail. I pay for that. Why? Because I want someone honest enough to say, Cindy, is this what you want to portray? Is this what you want to be? Is this what you want the world to, you know, to see? Because I'm looking at it from this perspective and this is what I'm getting. Does that make sense? I want that space. And that's what I believe our community gives each other. If it's not, I have to say, okay, if they don't want that, if they're going to get their feelings hurt and be mad, we don't play that, be mad at each other in this community. Just don't. It's just not a good fit. And I had to tell people that back in the spring, I had to. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done. I cried. I whined. I fussed. I didn't want to do it. I tried talking to them. And then God said, Cindy, I'm going to take you back to what I've already told you. Let people have a way to walk in and out of your doors and for them to find that safe place. But also you hold tight to know that, you know, we're trying to do the very best to encourage one another. We're trying to help each other be excellent. And we have to listen when other people see things because then they can help us to be excellent. Here's the deal. You could be in ministry and to be in ministry, you're going to have to know how to do business. To be able to do business, you're going to have to know ministry. You get that two together and they are dual as a Christian, you're going to have a powerful, powerful business or ministry, whatever it is. We are excellent. We are the ones who have the best ideas. We get those ideas out and we take it out there with all the best ideas. We look at how we look because you know what? We don't want anything to mar the light that we're bringing into the culture. We want to bear the image of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, he's all excellence. Think about his ministry. Think about his ministry. They had to do their money right. They had to do everything. I mean, he didn't go to the cross because of a tax evasion. He didn't go to the cross because he was breaking the law. He went to the cross because he was establishing kingdom. And that was subversive to an empire. That's not breaking law, by the way. That's not breaking law. We serve God before we serve man, right? That's how God sets it up. And I'm telling you, as far as the man is following the ways of God, I'm 100% with them. The minute that they step aside from it, I have to follow God, even if it costs my life. That's reality. That's what I'm called to. So anyway, back to my points. But anyway, I want a spot to troubleshoot and find prayer partners. I want a wellspring of ideas for little and big problems. I want a place for forever friendships and partnerships. Yeah, that tends to be the people who are around me that are the tightest in around. If not, the people that are new, it's like they said it over and over again. Wow. It's like I've known you all my life. Well, yes, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. And you're stuck with me. So it's a culture for strategic partnerships. I believe some of you are supposed to partner together. And I believe that we are to build the kingdom together. And some of you may be on similar projects. Some of you may not even be on similar projects. But I believe that we help one another. That's what the community is about. That's what the church is supposed to be about. It's the community or culture of learning together, growing together, a culture of strategic partnerships. It's a place that nurtures and expands each member. It's a place to overcome and be powerful at the same time. Now, what I mean here is you can come with your mess and still be working on your message. That's the atmosphere I want here. I've watched and I kind of learned this really deeply with my church tribe in Tennessee. Now, I remember one night in particular. It's a good picture of this. My father had passed away, and I was so raw inside. And there's a part of me after getting off work, I just wanted to go home and cry. And yet I thought, well, I had to go right by where the church was going to be meeting. I said, no, I'll just go on to church and I'll just worship tonight. And then I'll go home and I can cry, you know, but I'll go because God's got to have something for me there. I get there and I became a hot mess. I laid in the floor and wept. There was stuff coming out so deep, just such a grief. And many of them would come and they would lay hands on me at different times. But finally, some of the ladies came up and they said, Cindy, can we get you over here to a chair? I didn't think I could get up off that floor, but they helped me. And I went and I sat down. Everyone surrounded me and laid hands on me and began to speak words into me. They spoke life into me. I was a mess. And then a few seconds later, God gave me a word for someone. And I then was able to operate in power. I mean, right there in the middle of my mess, God began to then use me again. Because I was safe. I was in a place where I could bring my mess. And I was safe that I could trust them with it. Right then, I realized that's what we are to be all about. And that's what I determined, that my ministry in this season of my life was going to be a place that you could bring your messy. And I'm talking about be as messy as you need to be. And we're going to help you as you move it into your message. Okay. You know what? When I know that, I build that. It's kind of like having the blueprints. That's what we're talking about, is asking God, what is it that we want to build here? What is it you see, Lord? Let me see it so clearly that I can build this community. I can build it and it'll be a glory for you. So what do they need? What do they need? Mine, I found that a lot of people needed a dream nurturer. You know, they've got a lot of dream stealers and dream killers right around them, but they needed somebody to believe and help them to nurture their dreams, to believe in them, to believe in their dream, to help them have a plan, develop a plan to get there. That's what I'm here for. Isn't that awesome? Also, they needed a vision for success. They needed mentors and mentees to help expand, encourage, empower, and equip one another. That's what we're about here. That's what I'm all about. But what are you wanting to be about? I just gave you my examples. Ask God to show you what you're building. And then it's easy. You find your place. You know, find where your people are going to want to be. Are they going to want to be in events like classes, webinars, community nights? God just spoke something in my heart just to throw this out to you, Lisa, that maybe some classes would be good to go along with your guides, where maybe you could even pre-record them in all those extra moments you have in your day. And I'm saying that with my tongue in my cheek. But no, you only have to do it once. Go ahead. You don't need to sleep. Oh, I love it. But anyway, maybe it's classes. Maybe it's webinars. Maybe it's community nights. What is it? What's going to be the places? What can you do that I'm talking about can really help them to have a place? Is it a Facebook group? Maybe a group, I say, at Freedom Lake, because it's the same. It's Facebook, you guys. It's like amazing. I love it. It's not huge, and it's not, it's just, I think it's got a peacefulness to it. It's kind of really cool. But anyway, where is it that you're going to have your group? Where can they connect to reply so they know that you'll reply to them? That you'll, you know, where can you ask questions and have discussions? And, where, you know, where is it that they can connect with you? Your mailing list, your website, your all the different places that you have. Where are your places? Then how can you grow? How can you grow? How can you grow your business ministry? You know, how can you get out there so people can find you? Maybe it's hosting a challenge. Maybe it's sharing on social media. Maybe it's going and being a guest in different places as a speaker, or maybe even a guest on different podcasts. You know, one of the things that I have been excited about, I just joined Clubhouse, and I haven't hosted a room yet, but I'm planning on hosting some rooms in the very near future. But on Clubhouse, I love that if you've got an interest, something that you want to talk about, there are so many people there and they're so excited. You can find people to partner with that are fresh new partners, but you can also find people who might want to be in your community as you pour into them and give them access to you. I like that. If you're not familiar with what Clubhouse is like lives, but everybody can basically, through the app, they can kind of tap in and like you can bring people, they can speak, they can ask you questions directly, they can talk, or you can do the same things. Like I've joined a bunch of different rooms lately, and it has been so amazing to sit in the room with some of the people. I'm kind of their fan. You know what I'm saying? What was fun is just the other day, one of the people I was like, oh man, I hadn't talked and learned from him in a long time. It was Cliff Ravenscraft. He's like the podcast answer man, was how he was known in the past. And he helped me so much with my podcast, I say a billion years ago. But anyway, he's now the mindset answer man, I think is what he's calling himself. And he's here to help people develop their mindset. So he's doing a lot of coaching for people who are leaders. And it was great. In one room the other night, I got to catch up with him, and it was so amazing because he's going to come onto my podcast in I think we're scheduled the first week of February for an interview. But you know what? I got to connect with him. I got to sit and learn from him. I took so many notes just sitting and listening to him in the room when he was speaking and talking with other people. And you know what? You can go into places like that and find your community. Some of the people have connected with me. I've already gotten some people that are connected with me and that we're doing some joint ventures. So find wherever it is out in the world, find the places, be open to that. You know, one thing I have to criticize on Facebook and Twitter is they seem like they've wanted to be the place. And then they don't want you saying things. So I'm really kind of having a little bit of an issue with that. But you know what? They've kind of got us convinced that there's not a lot of other places. And so not everybody's where I'm going. But you know what I found? Like in Parler, I grew to double what my size in Facebook is, because they won't let you have more than 5,000 friends, you know, on a personal level. And I'm just like really bad at my Facebook page. Don't ask me how to build Facebook pages. I don't do Facebook pages well. Okay. But you know, what was interesting is going to Parler from June until they just cut us off. They're about to have it back and I can't wait. I hope they were able to save all my people. But anyway, I had just gotten to 10,000 there. And you know what? They were totally, there were some that were people from here and there that I've been in community with, but because of the way that they would let your post be seen in the main feed, and they weren't trying to keep people from having a voice in their social media. Because of that, people could see me and I was growing completely new following of new people and new friends. Don't limit yourself to a place or a space. In fact, if you have been, it might be time to grow it and expand it. You know, get out there and find ways to take your information out there. Maybe host a challenge again or have social media. Definitely build your email list, build your website. Have good content on that. I'm saying one thing to consider is a podcast as well. I podcasted a long time ago and was one of the first adopters of podcasting way back when it first started. And it was one of the first things when my websites were attacked a few years back. It was the first websites that went down and were hacked. And I think it was very interesting that I look at it now, and that was kind of like cutting my real voice off, because I could teach on topics that I was teaching on and people could find me. The community that had those questions could find me. I still believe in podcasting. That's one of the reasons I just started my podcast back, and it is on all the major places. You wouldn't believe the people that are already connecting. They're people that have not known me before I started the podcast. And it's all because they're interested in those topics. It's what I was saying earlier about knowing your who is important, but they first got to know who you are and what you are about. I really zoned into that whenever I got my pod. I was planning my podcast to make sure that my podcast was zoned in, specific, and you know what you get when you go to listen to the Cindy Rushton Show. Because guess what? Most people would go, huh? Why are you naming it the Cindy Rushton Show? Well, I believe it's going to come to be known for what it's about. It's about helping you to step into your calling and your life purpose and to keep on walking that out. And because we deal with everything from who you are, what you're here for, how you get in touch with your people, all the way to dealing with obstacles and crisis situations and long-term ministry situations. I introduce you, like even my introductions teach you, introduce you to some of the people who are doing it, living it out, so that you can see what their stories are and what has helped them. It's all that package. And you know what? It's already starting to be communicated, because all you have to do is go look at my topics and you start to figure it out really quick, right? Well, that's what I'm saying. If you can know what you're about and you stick to who you are, your message, what you're here for, then people will know and they will connect. Then what do? You engage with them. Get a plan for how you are going to engage with people. You need to have a yearly plan. You need to have a monthly plan. You need to have a weekly plan. You need to have a daily plan. We're going to talk about how to get your content calendar planned. That is coming up. It's coming up in one of our night sessions. It's either this week or next week. I don't see my plan in front of me right now. But anyway, I really challenge you to look at that part in the guide that talks about your content and planning your content, because it makes a world of difference. It'll keep you focused. It'll keep you with content, like even when you don't feel like doing it, or maybe you are tired and you're weary, or maybe you don't even have time to develop it. You'll have the content and you'll be able to then keep moving forward. Okay, you guys. Well, I am going to stop this and we're going to now go into our private space and our private chat. For those of you who are not in the room, you'll want to be making your way because we're about to turn this off. And because I want for this to be, again, hey, you now know my strategies, girlfriends, when I said I want a safe place where you can be real, you can be raw, you can get real counsel and ideas. Now you know why I have decided that this is the unrecorded, unpublished part of our things, because this is for community. This is for, I'm practicing what I preach. So if you guys want to be with us, come to cindyrushton.com/Zoom. If you're not part of the challenge, can I just tell you that it's not too late to hop in because you know what? Your 31-day challenge can begin the very last day we're doing this. It could begin this summer for that matter. This is not something you have to have started January 1st and you had to do all of it already or there's nothing. No, I believe, Janelle, did you say you finished your challenge already? Can you hop on for half a second? I want to celebrate you for a moment because I think you're the first person to finish, if I'm reading that right. And she may not be able to. She is working.
So I'm on an early lunch. Can you hear me?
I can. Hey.
Okay. I've got you in my ear. But okay. Yes. So I was writing out last night. Yesterday at lunch, actually. And so, yeah, I finished. I don't have it in front of me. So I'll share that more soon, maybe okay. Thursday night.
Yeah, but so you finished it. Okay, this is what, day 19. You guys, seriously, and it's not even day 19. We didn't start till the first week of January. This is actually beginning our third week, you guys. So really, in 2 weeks, you've done this, Janelle. That's amazing.
Yeah. Just having the goal set before you and then taking a few minutes here and there. It's good.
It feels
good to, you know, taking a little time every day to receive and then having when you're not able to sit down, but still it's in your spirit and you're meditating on it and praying. And then when you sit down, yes, to be able to start feeling and understanding where you're headed. So it's good.
That is so good. Well, hopefully this today will even help you start taking steps towards marketing it. I think you already know your people, your who already
right.
very well,
right. mm-hmm.
but maybe this will pull it together so you can see how all of that is needed so you can communicate with them and
right.
reach them. This is that next step towards getting out there, marketing it and reaching them. And it helps you whenever you're speaking to them, like in the articles or you're speaking to them in your recordings, it helps mm-hmm. to have that. So I wanted to publicly celebrate you finishing your challenge.
Thank you.
You know, what's coming your way very, very soon.
Yes, absolutely.
And I will be helping you prep for all your future next steps.
Thank you.
But it's not too late for everybody else to join us. You know, you guys, seriously, you know, I think one of my heartbeats is that this is not something that stops in January. In fact, I know that typical resolutions for people tend to be, hey, I'm going to make my big list. I'm going to do all these things. And, you know, I'm going to, and then January 3rd, they're out because they've had a day where they missed it. And can I just encourage you that part of taking your next steps is having to have those times where you take the step and then times where you trip back up or you get out of it. Part of having a new fullness, I say ministry life, biz life, is we're going to have to work it out and make it our default. It has to become our default mindset. It has to become our default lifestyle. We have to make it work and be creative to make it work, not creative and finding excuses not to. And so I'm just so proud of you, Janelle. And I'm so excited to see all the things that everybody's doing right now. I am going to shut off because I do want to make sure that we have some time during Janelle's lunch if she has some questions or anything she's needing the group to help her work through. But if you want to be a part of our chat, come into our room. It's found at cindyrushton.com/Zoom. And you guys, we'll be back Thursday night at 7 p.m. with the next session. And I hope that you can join us. Make plans, save the date. We'll see you then. Okay.